Okay, guys. This is Randomly Raw podcast where you never know what you're going to hear. Some stories told in these podcasts may contain graphic depictions. Listener discretion is advised. So it's been a long time, guys, and I got an email of suggestions of what to do. And so here we go. It states in their own stories. Starting with Alabama. Yeah, make your jokes. Ha ha ha, very funny. I'm gonna love this laugh. Okay. In February 1858, a steamboat named Eliza Battle set out on a cruise down Tombigbee River, carrying 60 passengers and more than 1,200 bales of cotton. One of the most flammable things you're carrying on board. A steamboat, of all things. I wonder where this could go wrong. Can you guys guess where it will go wrong? From Columbus, Mississippi, down to Mobile, Alabama. But on March 1st, an unseasonably cold night, the cotton caught fire. Can I just point out that pretty sure the cotton caught fire because someone was trying to keep warm and got the cotton a little too close to flames. Just gonna throw that out there. And Eliza quickly got engulfed by the flames. It was the greatest naval disaster in the river's history, leaving 33 passengers and crew dead. On brisk and chilly nights, people sometimes see the burning Eliza Battle rising from the misty waters where it sank, trying to complete its journey to Mobile. It would be really, really cool to go to this place just to see this. I would purposely wait until it was a chilly night and go just to see this. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I would. But next, we have Sweet Little Alaska, which at the height of the Klondike Rush, Gold Rush, a woman named Mary moved into the Golden North Hotel in Skagway with her fiancé, a prospector known as Klondike Ike. No, not Mike and Ike's guys, Klondike, and not your Klondike bars either. But before their marriage, Ike set off for the gold fields to make his fortune. But unfortunately, Ike never returned, and Mary locked herself in their room and waited, her anxious anticipation of Ike's arrival turning to dread and despair. After some time, the innkeepers eventually broke down the door and found poor Mary in her wedding dress, dead. Guests at the Golden North Mo Hotel to this day report Scary Mary roaming the halls, peering over their beds in the night just to check that Ike isn't sleeping with anyone else. And no, this ain't your Bloody Mary. This is Scary Mary. Let's make sure that's clear here. Bloody Mary is the one where you say her name into a mirror and she comes for you, even though she's looking for her children. I would be a little interested in seeing her just wake up in the middle of the night, looking her dead in the eyes and saying, "No, your ghost husband is not in my bed. Please go away. I am trying to sleep." Next on our list, guys, is Arizona. And I would like to go ahead and throw a shout out here to one of my listeners. Thank you for sending in ideas. I appreciate it. And yes, I am going to do your place in this podcast as well. She or he has asked to remain silent, anonymous, whatever you want to call it. But I am calling her or him out right now. They know who they are. Okay, Arizona, guys. The Hotel Monte Vista in Flagstaff opened along Route 66 in 1927. Often lodged the casts of Western films shot in nearby Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon, and reportedly houses a whole host of ghostly guests. In fact, John Wayne reported one of the hotel's first ghost sightings in the late 1950s. Ever since, guests and staff have reported dozens of spirits stalking the halls. I just find it funny how a celebrity reports a ghost sighting, and all of a sudden, all these people come forward and say, "Hey, yeah, I've seen some too. I've seen some ghosts. I have too. Just like the famous actor. I saw them too." It just kind of sounds a little fake. I don't know about you guys, but that sounds fake. But one of the ghosts that was reported was a phantom bellboy who knocks on doors and disappears. The eccentric inspector of a boarder who liked to hang raw meat from the chandelier. I'm sorry, but I would not like to come out, look up at the chandelier, and see raw meat. That'd really make me not want to be there. I don't know about you guys. Something about raw meat. Unless it was Halloween or in the middle of a wood ritual. Completely different. And for the phantom bellboy, be like, and where is that bellboy? Comes up through the floor. Oh, there you are. Yeah, could I ask for a favor? I don't think he would take too kindly to that, but I guess as he knocks on my door, I'm not even gonna answer. There's no point. He's gonna disappear anyway, right? And then the last one to be one of the phantoms was a 70s bank robber who succumbed to his gunshot wound over a celebratory post-heist drink at a hotel bar. Imagine that. You're celebrating and you die from a gunshot wound. Man, that suck. You gotta feel bad for some of the ghosts. Like, oh yay, I did it. Kapow, dead. Forever to roam the halls with a gunshot wound. I never found out where this gunshot wound was on this spirit, guys. I'm sorry about that. I should have tried to find it somewhere. But anyway, up next, we have Arkansas. So let's get on to that now. This one, I don't know if some of you guys out there love reading ghost stories or reading informationals, but I have read this one before. There's even a museum. And if any of you guys have checked out that place, let me know in my email. I'll give you the email at the end of the podcast. But if you have, let me know. And if you've ever gotten any pictures there, if you don't mind sending me some, I'd appreciate that. I'd like to use one of them as the cover. But during the Civil War, Union General Frederick Steele commandeered the home of a mailman named John Chittister to use as his headquarters during the Battle of Poison Spring. And of course, John had been accused of espionage for turning over Union mail to Confederate troops. To this day, it is said that bullet holes remain in the upstairs wall of John's house, where the Union soldiers had fired random, hoping to hit him as he hid in a small closet. Now, paranormal investigators have gone there, and they like to say and claim that his spirit remains, and it turns up in photographs and is shouting at them to get out, to, of course, the unwanted visitors. I tell them to get out too. But the home now stands as a museum, and it's open for tours so that you can see for yourself. Again, I would like to know, have any of you been there? Next up is California. Now, dealing with California, I'm going ahead and say this. I feel bad for some of you guys because I see a lot about California on the news, and all the natural disasters and everything. So, hope you guys are well. But today we're gonna be hearing about a little story from there. Alcatraz was the site of reputed hauntings long before hosting the famous prison. Yes, guys, the prison. But the famous ones were Native American spirits reportedly roamed it then, and of course now. But today, one of the most famous stories is of a prisoner from cell 14D. The story goes that the prisoner spent the night in solitary confinement, screaming that a creature with glowing eyes was trying to kill him and pleading for help. The guards, of course, ignored him, thinking that he was just trying to get out of that cell. So, because apparently he didn't think he did anything wrong. So he wanted out, like most prisoners do when they're put in confinement. But in the morning, they found the prisoner was strangled to death with strange wounds doctors said could not have been self-inflicted. Now, of course, everyone watches criminal shows, so they know what the meaning of self-inflicted means. And for those of you that don't, self-inflicted wounds is where you purposely hurt yourself. Now, this prisoner was strangled to death. No proof of how he was strangled, and it wasn't done by himself. So there had to have been something in that cell with him that killed him. I would have hated to be in that cell with him. But now, moving on to the next one, guys. The next one is Colorado. Interesting fact, I had some family that lived in Colorado for a while, and I spent some of my summer up in Colorado during the Colorado fires. I got to see the fires. I have some pictures of the smoke. But the Buffalo Rose Saloon in Golden, Colorado doesn't have much choice but to admit one underage patron. Underage patron under the age of 21. Now just think of that for a minute. How are they able to admit one underage person? Can you guess how? I'll give you a second. If you guess that it was a spirit, then you were correct. It is believed to be the ghost of a little girl who drowned in a swimming pool that used to be located in the saloon's basement back in the 1920s. She still roams the halls, the building, skipping up and down stairs and making employees slightly nervous. The former site of the pool is said to be particularly unsettling, with the bar's overnight custodian Seth Berry describing it as very bad. Sometimes you can't go down there. So, I mean, I could understand it, you know, guilt of some little girl being drowned, keeping you from going down there, or the fact that this little girl pops up out of nowhere can be pretty scary. But unless someone had purposely drowned the poor girl, I couldn't understand why it'd be bad to go down there. So, I guess he was just upset that, I guess he just didn't want to know the story. I guess if he would have never known the story, he could have went down there easily. And Seth Berry, if you're listening, which you probably are not, but it's okay to be scared, bud. It's okay. Scary things happen in the bump of the night, and we're here to talk about it. Next up is Connecticut. Sweet little Connecticut. You guys, this is the home place of the person who gave me the idea of the list and the stories that go along with them. And the person loves their own story because you guys, of course, hopefully have watched The Conjuring, The Conjuring 2, Annabelle, The Nun, My Medieval Horror, stuff like that. And you probably know the names Ed and Lorraine Warren. Well, we're about to find out why the person submitting that had submitted this list was so happy when it came to their own. In 1970, famed paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren were called to combat the spirit of Annabelle, a demonic presence attached to a giant Raggedy Ann doll. You guys know what a giant Raggedy Ann doll is, right? It's those circular face, red yarn hair, cute little outfit, just a rag doll. Definitely not what the Annabelle doll looks like. That's not a Raggedy doll. But for weeks, the doll had thoroughly freaked out its owner, Donna, moving from room to room, leaving handwritten notes. Aw, that's cute. Annabelle left love notes. And even attacking a friend who suggested Donna get rid of the doll. I'm sorry, but, like, if someone came by and said, you need to get rid of the doll, and the doll's like, they're like, I have went from room to room making sure no one is here to kill you. I've written you love letters, and you want to get rid of me? Well, yeah, I'd get pretty pretty upset too. Oh wait. Okay, I see now. Annabelle, come on. Why'd you attack the poor guy? She choked him in his sleep. The doll, not the person. The doll. And finally, a priest, not a police, a priest, exorcised the doll, and the Warrens locked it away into a special case designed to check its malevolent influence. But even that wasn't enough to save brash visitor to the Warrens Museum, who reportedly taunted the doll and died in a motorcycle crash on his way home. I think this goes to show, don't taunt haunted dolls, guys. That's not smart. That's incredibly stupid. If it's haunted, it's going to attack you. But from the sound of it, Annabelle's pretty strong on her own. I think I'll leave her be for now. Next up, guys, is Delaware. Yay, Delaware. Deliware? I've never really understood if I'm saying it right. Is it Delaware or Deliware? Feel free to correct me. Since 1965, Woodburn has served as the official residence of Delaware's governor. But more than a century before that, it became known as a home to more than one apparition. Apparition meaning ghost, spirit, something that pops up in the middle of the night and scares you to death. Around 1815, the home's owners were entertaining Lorenzo Dow, a well-known Methodist clergyman. When the group sat down to breakfast one morning, Doe asked if their other guest would be joining them. But there was no other guest. When Doe described the man he had seen that evening, it became clear that it was Charles Hilliard III. Rumor has it that if you leave out a glass of good wine at night, it might be gone in the morning. Hilliard was a bona fide Oeanophile, basically someone who loves wine and loves to drink it. Not so bad. I mean, it sounds like someone that you could really hang out with, right? Not a big deal, just the ghost who drinks wine. Who wouldn't want to hang out with a ghost that drinks wine? That's the worst it does, is it drinks wine. Because I couldn't find anything else on it. So, our next one is going to be Florida. It's kind of a cute little story, but also deals with ghosts, obviously. Yeah, I think it's pretty cute, guys. Okay. The Don Caesar Hotel in St. Pete Beach, Florida was built by Thomas Rowe and named for a character in opera, Marintana. Marita? Maritana. Rowe had attended the opera during his time as a student in London, and he fell head over heels for its star, a Spanish aristocrat named Lucinda. They regularly met at a fountain in the city and made plans to sail to America and be married. But Lucinda's parents didn't approve of their romance and took her back to Spain. You know, Lucinda's parents sound like real assholes, not approving of the person she loves. Sounds like some parents that I know, thinking that they always know exactly what's best for their child, even if their child is an adult. This poor Lucinda, though, some parents just can't seem to cut the umbilical cord. Sometimes they reattach them to other children. It's kind of creepy. But Thomas wrote her faithfully, but his letters were always returned unopened. Only one letter of Lucinda's ever reached Rowe. "Time is infinite," she wrote. "I wait for you by our fountain. To share our timeless love, our destiny is time." According to legend, Lucinda died of a broken heart. Rowe, who said he would never love anyone else, would go to build his hotel. It was completed in 1928 and features an exact replica of the fountain where the lovebirds spent happier times. Rowe's ghost has been spotted on the beach, on the hotel's fifth floor, and in the lobby, and in the garden where he is sometimes seen holding the hand of a woman beloved to him and believed to be Lucinda. See, guys, I told you that was kind of a romantic one. Imagine that. Seeing this ghost and then seeing him walking in a garden with his beloved. Isn't that just romantic? You know? I mean, it's tragic. It's kind of like Romeo and Juliet, which if you didn't guess, was the parents I was referring to, because Romeo and Juliet's parents didn't approve of them, so they went and they killed themselves, of course. Those parents are assholes. But if some of you guys live in Florida, does this hotel actually have this beautiful fountain? Does it actually have this story behind it? I would like to know. Should I do one more? Okay, you guys convinced me. I'll do one more. This one's Georgia. I would love some Georgia peach right now. When the Army Corps of Engineers flooded the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains to create Lake Lanier in the 1950s, 59 square miles of farmland, homes, and businesses disappeared beneath the water. In the process, the federal government relocated more than 250 families, along with 20 cemeteries and all their corpses. A nasty streak of freak accidents and mysterious drowning deaths have convinced locals that the lake has been cursed ever since. Some people who have survived near drownings at the lake have reported feeling hands dragging them down beneath the surface. Well, I guess that's what you get for picking up those lovely, lovely graves with those people in it and just pushing them along. I'd get my revenge too if my burial grounds got messed with. Okay, guys, that is all for tonight. Get a hold of me and let me know what you would like to hear on Randomly Raw. The email is moon.angelica21@gmail.com. That's moon.angelica21@gmail.com. This has been another installment of Randomly Raw. Please subscribe to this podcast for future episodes and join the family. Catch you guys next time.